Let's thank Ed for sharing again.
Thank you.
All right, at this time I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Nash G. from South Potomac area.
I'm Nash G. I'm a recovering addict. I'd like to thank my ultimate weapon for allowing me to be here to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I don't apologize for using God in this program. You know, they say if you talk about God too much, you'll run somebody out the room. If they run out the room, they probably wasn't supposed to be here. And I don't make no bones about that. Also, I want y'all to know I got plenty of other ultimate weapons positioned around the room here. So if y'all start throwing eggs and stuff, and, you know, if y'all move around too much, you know, they like the Secret Service, they might tackle you. You know, my topic is the ultimate weapon. Is these mics on? This one here? All right. How about now? Move up closer if you can't hear me. Yeah. The ultimate weapon and the common thread kind of parallels one another. You know, they told us that the ultimate weapon for a recovering addict is another recovering addict. Just like the ultimate weapon for an addict is a half partner. You know, especially when you're always coming up short. But, you know, what I'm kind of meditating on, too, is how intertwined the steps and the traditions are, because I kind of think about the first tradition here, where it talks about personal recovery depends on NA unity, you know. And so, you know, I can't get on my high horse and come in here and get arrogant and start thinking I'm the only one that got all the answers. And y'all need to listen to me. Y'all know this is NA, right? But that don't stand for Nash Anonymous. It don't stand for Nash G Anonymous. And I got to remember that, particularly at the home group level, too. You know what I mean? In particular, when you get a little bit of clean time and people start putting you way up here and you start talking about, listen to what I'm saying. I said you start talking about spiritual principles and you start talking about living along spiritual lines, and then people think that that's how, you know, you kind of walk this straight and narrow all the time. And so they don't allow you to kind of fall short. And then, you know, if we're not careful, we kind of want to curtail what we share in meetings because we don't want nobody to think that, you know, we fall short. And the fact of the matter is that we do fall short. And one thing I love about my sponsor, when he first started sponsoring me, he said, you know, this relationship needs to be good both ways. You know, you need to be as good for me as I am for you. Don't come here thinking that you're going to leech on to me like a leech and suck me dry emotionally, physically, and mentally. It ain't going to happen. And that's the way I sponsor. If you ain't doing no darn work, you're not going to absorb all of my energy. Come in here, you want me to drop everything. What they say, your case of negligence is not my case of emergency. Because you ain't doing what you need to do, you're going to call me and I'm supposed to stop, drop, and roll your way. That ain't happening. You know, so, and this ultimate weapon piece, you know, as iron sharpens iron, man to sharpen man, we're supposed to be sharpening each other. You know, all ground is level at the foot of the cross, baby. You know, and it ain't like, you know, my sponsor going through some shit. I need to get me a new sponsor. Drop him and get another one. That's when he needs you. That's when she or he or whatever you got, we need to start feeding back into their life. We need to be there to prop and hold them up. They can relapse just like we can. Don't nobody got no dope exempt number around here. You know what I mean? When you start talking about the common thread, you know, that's how it likes you. You look for somebody who got that good positive energy, who's moving in the direction that you're moving, and that's who you gravitate to. It ain't that we trying to judge somebody or that we in some kind of clique around here. It ain't no clique. You just gravitate to the people who motivate you, who moves you. That's how it works. You know what I mean? And it ain't like we siding people up. I don't like them. Listen to them share, you know. But the common thread is when they need you, can you drop everything and be there? And, you know, because, you know, some people come to your home group because they don't like you enjoying it. But, you know, diversity is our strength. So, you know, you need that to build character, to build patience, and to build tolerance so you can go along in the rest of the world. You know what I mean? What we practice in here, we got to carry on in the rest of our life. At home, let me say that again, at home, you know, where most of us fall short or have the most problem, at home, you know what I mean? And you know, we get them people at home ear hustling, you know, listen to our conversation, and we going on, and we find off some good stuff, and you hang up the phone, they look at you like, what? You know, in trouble, you know, because they ear hustling, you know what I mean? Well, you need to practice some of that stuff right here, you know what I mean? Damn. Talking about the ultimate weapon stuff, man, you know. So I got to call my boy up, and I'm crying and whining. You know what she said, man, blah, 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 you know. But you know what? You know, they kind of talk about men stick with men and women stick with women, you know. I really thank God for the women that have allowed themselves to be open in these rooms and share their struggles, you know, particularly with PMS, postpartum depression, menopause, all that kind. No, I'm serious. I'm not playing. That has helped me to stay in my marriage. If I didn't hear y'all talking about that stuff, and I was like, oh, that's what the heck going on? You know, I didn't have a clue. I ain't have a clue. And so by y'all sharing about it, I start clocking and writing down dates and stuff. You know, I'm doing a fourth and fifth step on my wife, you know what I mean? Now I'm coming up on 25 years, 32 years in this relationship. All my children have been born in my relationship with my wife and inside Narcotics Anonymous, you know? And they haven't known me to have to rob their penny bank, steal Christmas, you know, not be there for Mother's Day, not be there for their birthdays and things like that, you know what I mean? And then, you know, again, you kind of gravitate to people who have what you have. And so we have different people, different kind of people in our network. And let me say this too. You don't sponsor everybody the same. All fruit don't get ripe on a tree at the same time. Right? Just because this one called me every day or I call my sponsor every day don't mean you have to call me every day. You know, put on your suit, get in your lane, and run your race. Whatever's comfortable, whatever's working for you, use that to the best of your ability. You know what I mean? We, you know, let me say this. Man is my measuring stick. You know what I'm saying? I can't go to God and say, well, you know, at least I ain't do what so-and-so was doing. God don't want to hear that. He said, what did I tell you to do, fool? I gave you a race to run. I ain't tell you to run his or her race. What you over there running his or her race? No wonder you didn't get across the finish line. You know? And so, this is how we do, man. We got to hold each other accountable, man. I don't pick up a drink or a drug every day because I don't want to. There's days I want to use. I ain't going to lie to you. Using saved my life. Let me say that. I ain't giving nobody no license to use, but using saved my life. I would have killed my dumb ass if I didn't use. So when somebody relapsed and come back in here, that's a good damn thing. That's a good thing. That ain't a bad thing. They could have blown their damn brains out. Because I hear people in here say, well, if I got to use again, I'm going to kill myself. Well, guess what? That's a permanent solution for a short-term problem. Let me say that again. That's a permanent solution for a short-term problem, man. You know, if you got to use, carry your ass on out there and use. We'll be here when you get back. We'll leave the light on for you. And we should be welcoming them with open arms and say, okay, like you said, what didn't you do? What wasn't you willing to do? They may not have been willing to get into that fourth and fifth step like my man was saying. You know what I mean? They may not have been willing to dig up some of that garbage that we be carrying around for years and years and years. You know? And the common thread is when I can share with somebody else, right, and they feel me, and they say, and they're just sitting back, and it's current, and then we get to crying together. You know? We get to crying together, man. I done been through some stuff with people in my network, man. I done kind of walked through some divorces with some people, man. And I don't pick sides. I don't pick just because I'm sponsoring you, your side over your wife's side. We always in a relationship together. You know, now I'm going to kick them to the curb because, you know, y'all getting a divorce. No, no, no. See, that's some bullshit. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. Yeah, I said it. That's some bullshit. You know what I mean? We got to allow both of them to come into the rooms and feel comfortable and feel okay and be able to give them a sincere hug of love because they need it. They going through some stuff. We don't, look, they got their side and they got their side and then it's God's side. And they didn't meet in the middle. That's what the problem was. You know? And so the ultimate weapon piece is, man, is holding each other accountable to the principles that we extract out of the steps. Let me say this. There's principles in these steps. This is a living program. I got here before the step working guy, in case y'all didn't know, and I'm still here. So don't tell me that the step working guy is the only thing that works. So that's, and I ain't got nothing against the step working guy, but I'm like you. Some of them questions in there, you're working on your fourth step, which is not a bad thing. Which is not a bad, I don't got nothing about, but the problem I have is when somebody flip you the bird going down the road and you go berserk. And you start running them off the road, you wind up in jail. And then we got to come get you. You know? So did you really work the first step? Because it's not just about powerlessness. And I just had this spiritual awakening recently. and my clean date is March the 20th, 1989. But I'm still having spiritual awakenings, contrary to popular belief. I have a lot of these in meetings. Yeah, in meetings. Where they read the steps and talk about the steps. And people share their experience, strength, and hope on the steps. Not just with my sponsor, right? Because my sponsor ain't got no monopoly on the steps and what God has for me in the steps. God is my ultimate sponsor, right? Okay, that's what I said. I got that clear. Okay, so I found out in the first step that, darn, you got the powerlessness, right? But then you got the honesty, right? But then you got the surrender. And then this is some real deep shit here. Acceptance. All in the first step, if you look for it. It's there. And it's yours for using. You don't have to ask your sponsor to use that. The literature says if you want what we have to offer and you're willing to make an effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. Now, it's good to run stuff by your sponsor. I'm not taking nothing away from your sponsor. But don't give your sponsor the key to your recovery. Because he ain't going to be responsible for your relapse. And the literature say that we are responsible. You are responsible for your recovery, not your sponsor. Right? So, I say that to say, not only do I have a sponsor, but I also have a network, man. And 2011, I made a decision to take a motorcycle ride. And I got in a motorcycle accident. I didn't even know I was in the accident till maybe 30 days later. And And I took my first helicopter ride. And, man, Ultimate Weapons came out of everywhere, man. They had to stop people from coming to the hospital to see me, man. And, you know, my family is diverse, you know, in here, you know. So, I mean, you know, we are people who, under normal circumstances, won't mix unless we got enough dope. But when the dope start running out, we start shooting and killing each other. I don't care what you look like. But when we come in here and fall in love with each other, man, when we come in here and try to practice God's will, man, you build some strong relationships, man. Some of them are so strong, man. I mean, you don't even know how strong they are until you're close to losing them or somebody's going through something. Because when my family hurt, I hurt. When my partners was going through those divorces, man, I hurt, man. And just recently, somebody that had some substantial amount of clean time relapse, man. And I sponsored them, and I was sponsoring them, and it took them 2 years to tell me that they relapsed. And I was in my 11th step on my knees the next morning, and that thing kind of came on me like a ton of bricks, man. It was a heavy load on me, man. And I took it personal, you know, and not that he couldn't tell me, but I just took it personal. Man, how could you do that, man? You know, I would have never thought that this person, you know, and I wanted to go to him and tell him, man. I wanted, man, what, you know. And I said, no, man, that ain't the right thing. They already got their foot up their ass. They just told you that it took them 2 years to tell you. So you know it was heavy. So I couldn't go to him. And you know what? I went to my sponsor, and he put me on location. It's like he just took the train and put it right back on the track, man, and got me going in the right direction. And because he had somebody that went through that, he sponsored a couple people that went through that was close to him. He said one person left a service commitment and went straight to the pain. You know? And so that's why we still need to have a sponsor. I don't care how much time you got. I don't care if the sponsor got less clean time than you or more. If they got what you want, practice enough humility to ask them. You know, lately I've been thinking about something too, man. And I've been thinking about asking. Nah, I don't want to share that. I don't want to break that open. Yeah. I don't want to break. I'm still kind of meditating on that. I better not share that. You know, man. I ran it by one person, but you know, you know how your thinking is. You know, we can get way out there. You know. My man was talking about, you know, the sponsorship piece and how it's so important, man, that we be able to share things with them and make a connection. And I call my sponsor on a regular basis when I'm thinking about them at least once a week. And I do that to stay connected so that if I have a problem like I just talked about, it ain't hard for me to call them. You know, because it took a while for me, like you say, to build that relationship. This is my fifth sponsor, right? And I kind of had my eyes on him for years because I knew my other sponsor was getting old and up in age and he was going to pass. And so when he passed, I knew exactly who I was going to, you know, start working with. And, you know, you got to, I have a strong network, and some of the people in my network, I call more than I call my sponsor. We just have that kind of relationship. We just kind of, you know, have that kind of connection. That ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, not with me. It's been working for me. Like I say, I'm running my race. You know what I mean? And my sponsor and I have a great relationship. A great relationship. You know, and I really appreciate them. You know? And, you know, I had many using partners. You know what I mean? I didn't go to the same place to use every day. You know what I mean? I don't go to the same meetings all the time. I try to keep it fresh. You know what I mean? I like getting in the car and road maybe 20 minutes, half an hour to a meeting. It don't matter. I don't have to just be convenient. And I'll go to a meeting straight in my work clothes. I don't have to go home and get cleaned up and prettied up and put my cologne on and put the best shoes on and all that stuff. I need a damn meeting. That's the bottom line. You know, I ain't looking for nothing else. You know, and I know some people come to meetings and looking for stuff. That's what's gonna keep you here. Keep you here. Do what work. I ain't got no problem with that, baby. You know what I mean? But just make sure that you let somebody know what you're doing and what you feel and what you're thinking, man. You know, and the sad part about it is around here, you can find somebody to agree with you if you talk to enough people. I don't care what you're doing, whether it's right or wrong. You know. So you know, I mean, you know, I mean, again, that's who we gravitate to, man. You see it, you know. It don't take no rocket scientist to figure that out, man. That ain't no great mystery, man. And you know, that's just the fact of the matter, man. That's in any walk of life, anywhere we go, man. Same thing, man. So it's the same thing in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. But my thing is that it's my second step working. You know, it's my second step working. Has the God of my understanding restored me to sanity? I know he can. I believe he can. You know, so now that I believe, now what am I going to do about it? The third step talks about the proof of this step is shown in the way we live. So if you're growing along spiritual lines, somebody else should know about it. Right? Somebody else should know about it. And then that's when people kind of gravitate to me, is because it's not that what they see, it's not me that they like. It's what I'm sharing about. And it's about this relationship with the God of my understanding and what he's done for me. You know, how he's delivered me from, you know, the guttermost, you know. I mean, that self-esteem piece where my self-esteem was, you know, below earthworm, man, you know, when I came in here, man, because I struggled coming in here. I couldn't even read and write. I couldn't even read and write when I got here, you know. And although I had graduated from school, well, that's just because they wanted to get me out the way, you know. You know, that I was more of a threat to them if I stayed there, so they better keep passing me along and get them out the way, you know. But but my reading and writing got better through coming to meetings, listening to the literature, you know. And again, everybody don't learn the same way. So I you know, I can listen, you know. I learn a lot audibly, you know, and I learn a lot by doing, you know. So just because I don't read and write, so that, you know, I'm not one for, so no wonder I ain't one for writing on the steps, right? Right? I'm not a pro advocate about right now, because I'm not no great, you know, poet like my brother, or, you know, English major or whatever, you know, writing. I ain't into all that. But what I am into is getting all that I can get out of this program. And I can show you that by the way I live. If you spend some time and build a relationship with me, you know what I mean? That's when you can see the proof is in the pudding. And like the third step say, the proof of this step is shown in the way we live. Can somebody cuss you up side one side, down the other side, get up in your face, and you can tell them thanks for sharing? I understand that that's your opinion of me, and I appreciate it. Now I know where you stand. You know, it ain't what you call me, it's what I answer to. Let me say that again. It ain't what you call me, it's what I answer to. It's more important than that fourth step that I get to know me. And this step journey that I get to know me, what makes me click, where my triggers are, can I move those buttons that people like to push? You know, especially the people closest to you, because they still going to tell you about what you used to do. And it may be your own parents. Well, you think you're high and mighty now. And I remember when trying to pull you down because you're growing along spiritual lines. And people, everybody ain't happy about you being in recovery. And everybody ain't happy about you standing on God's principles. Some people think that you better than. But that's what you think. How you going to tell me what I think? You think that I think. Damn. When did you get to be a mind reader? Give me those damn Powerball numbers. So anyway, man, the ultimate bottom line for this topic is, man, each one teach one, and we need each other, man. And we can't pick and choose who we need, because God got such a sense of humor that he's going to challenge you in your humility, that the person who has what you need is the person you despise the most. And that's when you have to practice this thing called humility that they're telling us to develop by the time we get to that seventh step, where we can humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings so I can go up there and ask the person who has what I need, can I please have? Or will you please help me with? I heard you sharing about this, and I'm struggling right there. Now, when you're in an argument, I don't care who it is, it takes two fools to argue. Let me say that. So if you're in an argument, you're one of them. It takes two fools to argue, right? Whoever's the most spiritually grounded will surrender.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Say it
again. The problem is, why do I always have to be the one that's most spiritually grounded?
Let's thank Nash for sharing.